beautiful downtown Phoenix from the Double Wide Network in the Camelback Towers. The Empowerment Team. An inspirational hour of common sense information to empower your life. And now, here's your host, Mark Lewis.
I love that theme song, Feeling Stronger Every Day. That is the theme of the Empowerment Team. Welcome back if you're a returning listener and if you're here for the very first time. I am your host, Mark Lewis. Thank you so much for stopping by on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. We talk each week about topics that we all go through in life that we have difficulties with, and then we feature people with stories on the subject matter. We have subject matter experts who can kind of direct us on how to deal with those issues. And then we have inspirational stories about people who have overcome the issues that we're discussing on this show to kind of take you from the beginning to end and show you that there's hope no matter what you're going through in life. We will have the answers and the way to negotiate, but then it's up to you. You've got to do the work. Today is a topic that we've all been through or encountered and wrestling with, quite frankly, right now in our lives, and that's the topic of forgiveness. And it sounds like an easy thing to do, to forgive somebody, but if you've been wronged or physically, mentally, or both, you know it's not an easy proposition to just let go and forgive. Which brings me to my first guest today, Kitty Chapel. She's an international motivational speaker and author who I serendipitously ran into when I was making some campaign calls for my wife, who's running for Justice of the Peace in Chandler, a shameless plug. Kitty, thank you so much for stopping by today, and welcome to the Empowerment Team.
Thank you so much, Mark. I'm just so pleased to be here.
We're going to feature you in a unique format today because you have lived this yourself and were able to forgive and then meet so many people who have been inspired by the book that you've written to forgive, and now they're leading better lives. You're going to be featured in all three segments today, but we need to start at the beginning. So take us back to your childhood and your father and how oppressive and abusive he was and just what you went through as children.
Thank you, Mark. Actually, I grew up in a small Texas town called Texarkana, Texas. I was on the Texas side, not the Arkansas side.
So you're not an Arky.
That's right. I wore shoes. And I was the first of three children born into an abusive environment, but no one would ever believe it because we were in this picture-perfect situation, rose-covered house with white picket fence, neat lawn. None of my friends ever had an idea of what went on behind the walls of our house. But my earliest memories were those of my father brutally beating my mother. And then as I grew older, I soon too experienced his cruelty, as did my brother and sister after they were born. And even as a child, I assumed the protective role for my hurting family. And that was easy to do because my mom was only 15 years older than I. We sort of grew up together. She was 14 when she married my father.
Wow.
And in my early teens, I tried every way I could think of to try to escape, for us to escape. But I knew that was impossible because he had warned us that if we ever tried to leave, or even spoke about what went on behind our walls, that he would kill us all and then plead temporary insanity.
And back in the day that this was going on, it wasn't as commonplace on TV. You didn't see Law and Order SUV where there's recourse for these kinds of actions.
That's right.
Now. Yeah.
There was no recourse. There were no shelters. There were no facilities to house abused women and children, even if they were able to flee. There was no financial help or advice, counsel to be received. So without legal resources and any place to go, we were trapped. We couldn't go to family members because that's the first place he would look.
What's the justification would your father use when he would beat your mother or you or your brothers and sister?
The typical. It was always our fault. It was always my mother's fault. She burnt the biscuits. She didn't do something just right. The very typical line that abusers do, intimidation, making the person feel stupid, inferior, clumsy. If they would only try harder to please, then they wouldn't be subjected to this kind of treatment. They actually deserved what he was giving out.
We're visiting with Kitty Chaplin. We're talking about forgiveness, and we're starting at the beginning of the story where Kitty and her mother and her family experienced abuse at the hands of their father. So to fast forward for us a little bit, at what age did you guys start to hatch a plan to get out of that house?
Well, I was 14 when I read a newspaper article about the non-conviction of a teenage boy who had shot and killed his father during an attack upon the mother. So I thought maybe I wouldn't be convicted either if I did that. So I thought that the next time that my dad got his gun and threatened us with it and started beating my mother with it, I would somehow wrestle it away from him and then shoot him. But that terrified me because my father didn't drink. It wasn't as though he would be a stumbling drunk.
So he was still lucid.
Right.
There wouldn't be an opportunity to get that gun.
Absolutely. And he was very strong, and I was just a skinny little teenager. So I worried about that, but that seed was planted in my mind as the only possible means of escape that I could think of.
And so when did you finally get away?
Well, we didn't get away until after my father almost murdered my mom.
Wow.
And then he was sent to prison.
And how old were you then?
I was 20.
Wow. And so that had to be very traumatizing at the same time, because you don't know until he's convicted if he's actually going to go away, right?
Exactly.
And then when will he get out?
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing that we never thought about was his threat when he said that he would plead temporary insanity. He said he would kill us all and plead temporary insanity. That didn't register with us. That term wasn't even used back then. And now everybody pleads temporary insanity, you know, when they kill somebody. But not until the court scene, not until the trial did it hit us full force, with amazing It was terrible because we were totally floored when the defense accused my mother and me of being prostitutes in our own home. And that is why this kind, loving, devoted family man lost it when he found out this horrible truth, that he committed that crime, one for which he was now deeply sorry. And my father could have received an Academy Award. I mean, he sat there with tears running down his face, sobbing quietly into his hands. The jury turned around and glared at us, and we were absolutely stunned.
But fortunately, he was convicted. I mean, and people like your father are sociopaths. They've already convinced themselves that what they're saying is absolutely accurate.
Right.
So they can live out those types of mannerisms in a courtroom. But fortunately, he was imprisoned. When we come back in the next segment, I really want to focus in on what you and I discussed before the show, which is how you were able to forgive such heinous acts. Not only from your perspective as the little girl who never really had her father, but as the clinical person, as people have told you now, they use your books to help reform others going through similar circumstances. So, Kitty, stay where you are, and everybody else, stay with us for a moment. We're going to take a step aside for a brief break here on the Empowerment Team. But when we come back with Kitty Chaplin, we're going to have her talk about how to exactly overcome issues like she talked about in the first segment of abuse, and whatever you may need to do to forgive someone for how they've wronged you, a how-to primer. And I want her to define forgiveness for us as well when we come back on the Empowerment Team. Stay with us.
The Voice of Summer TBI is a proud sponsor of the Empowerment Team. Rondé, the founder of the Boys of Summer, suffered a traumatic brain injury and through the process of his own healing, felt inspired to raise awareness about TBI around the country. He has combined his love of baseball with his desire to educate folks around the country on traumatic brain injuries and created a 501c3 that will travel major league ballparks around the country, focusing on Americans with TBI and members of the military who are currently battling the different stages of this difficult condition. The Boys of Summer TBI is partnering with the Arizona Diamondbacks here in Arizona and has plans to launch a league-wide tour to raise awareness and money for victims of traumatic brain injury as well. The Boys of Summer TBI, coming to a major league ballpark near you. With all the turmoil in the medical insurance market these days, where do you turn for advice? We have the answer. Mareel Slater Insurance. Tom Mareel and John Slater have spent their entire careers servicing the insurance needs of companies and individual policies as well. If you want to know if you qualify for a subsidy under the Affordable Care Act, just give Mareel Slater Insurance a call for a free consultation. Their number is 602-476-0057. The number again, 602-476-0057. Or visit their website at www.tmareel.com. In life, you always want a great doctor, a great lawyer, and a great mechanic. Yoda Pros owners Michael and Mark Williams have been in the auto service business for their entire careers and pride themselves on fair pricing and great customer service. Whether it's an oil change, aligning or rotating your tires, or replacing a transmission, Yoda Pros has the top fleet of mechanics in the valley. So stop by Yoda Pros in Tempe at 7144 South Priest or give them a call 480-699-2880. You're listening to the Double Wide Network, where you can host your own radio show. If you're looking for a way to get out your message, welcome to the future. Dave Pratt's Double Wide Network offers you the opportunity to use our state-of-the-art studio to create your very own radio show. Our experienced and helpful production staff will help you every step of the way. Our free mobile app allows your listeners to take your show with them and play it live or on demand. Even if you're not in Arizona, we've got you covered with Skype technology so you can broadcast from anywhere in the world. Whether you're in it to grow your business, make a statement, deliver a message, or just have fun hosting your own show, the Double Wide Network can make it happen. The Double Wide Network always has your show ready to go. For more information, just visit us at doublewidenetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Team. Today's subject is forgiveness. My guest is Kitty Chapel, and she has a wonderful book, Soaring Above the Ashes on the Wings of Forgiveness. And we'll talk more about how you can get the book and get more information on the other periodicals that she's written as well when we come back in the final segment of the show. But Kitty, when we left, we heard this horrific story of your childhood in terms of your father being the sociopath that convinced himself to he justified the beating of your mother and yourself and your siblings. It was just unbelievable. Finally, okay, he's convicted. You're able to move on. But how did you get to the position of forgiveness? And how can somebody out there in our audience forgive these types of acts that we look on face value and we say they're unforgivable? Right?
Absolutely. And yeah. They feel unforgivable. And that's the major part of the problem, is that our emotions are so deeply involved with this decision. It's not easy to forgive because a heart has been wounded for so many years, and we have felt so bitter and unjustly treated. But I think the things that's going to help us to realize the importance of forgiving is our misconceptions about it. And that was several of my big problems, where I had misconceptions. I believed that forgiving my father would mean that he should not be held responsible for all of the pain that he had caused us. And especially as a Christian, I feared that then I would not be expected to testify against him or to seek his imprisonment. But And that presented a problem for me because I wanted him to rot in prison. I certainly didn't want to forgive him because I thought that was part of his punishment.
What is forgiveness? Well, you talked about the definition of forgiveness, and I know a lot of people think that they know what forgiveness is. What's your definition of forgiveness, Kenny?
Well, Webster's definition is this: to cease to feel resentment against an offender. And when I first read that, I thought, that is too simple. Cease to feel resentment against an offender. How on earth do I do that? And I realized cease is a verb. Forgive is a verb. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Forgive is a verb. It's something you either
do or
don't. Yes, an action verb. And so is cease. It means to stop, bring to an end, or simply stop. And most of us choose not to because of our confusion about what our understanding of forgiveness is. And that's where we need to clear up some of the misconceptions. I also believed that forgiveness equates reconciliation. If you forgive someone, then you have to be reconnected with them, right?
No.
And that's what I thought, see?
Right. No, but I'm saying you're right. That is the conception, but you don't have to be. So,
no.
So you can have the ability to release yourself of the bondage, but that doesn't mean you have to go have coffee with your father and just hang out with him.
Exactly. Especially when he threatened to kill us when he got out. That wouldn't be too swift.
What was your moment of epiphany? When did this all hit for you and you went, aha, I finally have it?
It was after a long struggle. As a Christian, I knew that God wanted me to forgive my father, and I gave him all of the reasons. First, my father didn't deserve it. And I felt like that my not forgiving him was a form of strong punishment for him, that he would suffer because I didn't forgive him. But as I said in the book, that makes about as much sense as taking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die.
Right.
My dad didn't suffer at all in prison.
You're just penalizing yourself.
Absolutely. But the poison of my bitterness was destroying my life, and it could affect me the rest of my life and all of my interactions with other people.
So this happens to you when? How old were you then?
Fortunately, my father was still in prison.
He
hadn't even been in prison for a year when I was able to forgive. After arguing with God, I finally agreed that, yes, forgiveness was not for my father. It was for me. It was for my benefit, not his. And so I said, okay, God, I'll forgive him if you'll force me to. Because I still don't want to. I just don't want to. And, of course, God wouldn't do that. He reminded me that he created us with a free will. He will never force us to do anything, but he will help us to do anything that will make us to be a better person, the kind that he created us to be. So I chewed on that for a while, and then finally I said, you know what, Lord, I will forgive him, but if you will just put a little bit of a desire in my heart to want to, that would be wonderful. And he answered that prayer.
And so you were able to get at a very young age, which is a remarkable accomplishment, because it was still so fresh and visceral, I would think, in your mind, just the tumult and all the just turbulence in your life. To be able to do that for somebody as young as you were is remarkable. And then you were able to craft these tenets of how you were able to forgive into almost like an how-to primer that's in your book. Can you, for our audience and people who are out there right now going through like or similar circumstances with, let's say it's a boss or it's an ex-wife or it's a son or a daughter, or, you know, everybody goes through these dysfunctions in their life where they say, I can't forgive that individual. What is the best way to go about it based on your experience? And you know it works because you've had other people utilize it and respond to it.
I would say, first of all, to realize what forgiveness isn't. And it's not allowing people to treat you or abuse you or treat you unfairly any way that they want and not hold them accountable. You can hold them accountable. We should all have boundaries. And we can hold them accountable. We can talk with them about it and try to reason and talk with them if it's not like a violent situation. And one thing I think is we have to forgive people for not living up to our expectations. We have to realize that the people we work with, that we are related to, they're all imperfect just as we are. And sometimes when we have expectations that are too high, they disappoint us because we have painted this picture about them, how we want them to live and function to fulfill our needs. And when they disappoint us, it's hard to forgive them.
And you and I discussed this as well. Each week when I leave the show, I always sign off with a saying that my wife and I use in our lives, which is you stand for yourself and against no one else. And that's, I think, exactly what you're articulating. You're saying, hey, listen, I'm not against you, but here's what I require.
Right.
I require compassion, integrity, respect, the ability to have that kind of respect conveyed to me in a conversation or in my livelihood or in my relationship. And if you're not up to that, God bless you and good luck with your life.
Exactly.
But I need to move on.
Yes, exactly. And we need to be realistic about our expectations. Some people simply do not have to give what we expect them to have.
How did you overcome the anger?
That went away when I forgave. I let it go. And it was like a bird set free. Anger and resentment are very heavy burdens. They are great energy leaks. And you don't even realize it, why you're so tired, maybe why you have stomach problems, why, you know, it affects us physically as well.
No, you're absolutely right. And I would say that the stress of living with not being able to forgive is greater than the ability to forgive. Because it's like the analogy you said about drinking poison and expecting to kill the other individual. You know, all you're doing is making yourself more miserable. And oftentimes, and we know this, all of us do, because we've all gone through it in our lives, when you're in the middle of it, it's hard to pull yourself out of it.
It is.
You almost have to quit hanging around with yourself for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Step outside of yourself and look at yourself and say, listen, Mark, this doesn't profit you by having, you know, like, for example, in this race that my wife's in right now, you know, in politics, it's almost like the norm to be contentious. But our position's always been not to disparage the opponent. It's about us and what we can offer. Because people will try to bait you into that other type of behavior, but that saps and really diminishes your own capabilities in life. And I think that analogy and what you've done in forgiveness is very appropriate in that you take the power away from the abuser when you forgive them.
Absolutely.
So if there's like a couple of things real quickly before we go to the last segment, like I know you were saying that your book was huge in Poland, and I found that fascinating. And tell the folks that a lot of the clinicians over there actually utilized your book in their treatment of people to forgive people.
Yes, I was amazed to see how many professionals, psychologists, psychiatrists, came to hear me and have me sign their book, which they had highlighted in different shades throughout the book. I was stunned because I had never had any professional counseling. I didn't have to go and undergo treatment for years and years. And I wondered why they were using my book. And one of them explained to me through an interpreter that it was because they have a lot of books, clinical books. And they said this was the first book they had ever read written by a victim who not only had overcome it, her past, but was able to write with clarity in the second half of the book and give all of the tips and information on how to overcome anything in life.
Well, and I think that's a wonderful testament to these people. I mean, more clinicians in America should embrace the same kind of,
yes,
because they're willing to say, listen, I might have the credentials from the standpoint of book knowledge, but you lived it, Kitty. You're the one who went through it. You extricated yourself from it without the help from the clinical community. How did you do it? We want to know.
Right.
I think that's refreshing.
Well, the thing is, I think they get hung up many times, and it's the way they're trained, on feelings. And so they have the people to keep going over and over and over their past. Well, I, for one, feel you address the past. It is a reality. You're really hurt. But what do you do from now on? You get over it. And how do you do that?
I think that's wonderful advice. The book is Soaring Above the Ashes of the Wings of Forgiveness. Kitty Chappell's my guest here on the Empowerment Team today. When we come back, it's my favorite segment of the show. It's our inspirational segment. It's our segment of hope. We're going to talk to Kitty about people she's encountered who have been able to forgive, like herself, and then go on and live just a very productive and joyous life. And that's why we're all here, to try and help one another out. This is the Empowerment Team. I'm Mark Lewis. We're back after this short break.
With all the turmoil in the medical insurance market these days, where do you turn for advice? We have the answer. Mareel Slater Insurance. Tom Mareel and John Slater have spent their entire careers servicing the insurance needs of companies and individual policies as well. If you want to know if you qualify for a subsidy under the Affordable Care Act, just give Mareel Slater Insurance a call for a free consultation. Their number is 602-476-0057. The number again, 602-476-0057. Or visit their website at www.tmareel.com. In life, you always want a great doctor, a great lawyer, and a great mechanic. Yoda Pro's owners, Michael and Mark Williams, have been in the auto service business for their entire careers and pride themselves on fair pricing and great customer service. Whether it's an oil change, aligning or rotating your tires, or replacing a transmission, Yoda Pro's has the top fleet of mechanics in the valley. So stop by Yoda Pros in Tempe at 7144 South Priest, or give them a call, 480-699-2880. The Boys of Summer TBI is a proud sponsor of the Empowerment Team. Rondé, the founder of the Boys of Summer, suffered a traumatic brain injury and through the process of his own healing, felt inspired to raise awareness about TBI around the country. He has combined his love of baseball with his desire to educate folks around the country on traumatic brain injuries and created a 501c3 that will travel major league ballparks around the country, focusing on Americans with TBI and members of the military who are currently battling the different stages of this difficult condition. The Boys of Summer TBI is partnering with the Arizona Diamondbacks here in Arizona and has plans to launch a league-wide tour to raise awareness and money for victims of traumatic brain injury as well. The Boys of Summer TBI, coming to a major league ballpark near you.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Team. My name is Mark Lewis. I'm the host of the show, and today's topic is forgiveness. My guest is Kitty Chappell, and her book is called Soaring Above the Ashes on the Wings of Forgiveness. She's documented her story of abuse at the hands of her father when she was very young, and then had the maturity at a very young age to be able to forgive him and go forward and chronicle her ability to forgive in a book, and it's helped so many other people. Kitty, thanks again for being here today. We really appreciate it. And I understand in the book that you have several examples of overcomers. People have been able to utilize the principles that you extol in the book and have been able to overcome their situations. Can you give our audience a couple of examples of those stories?
Yes. One, a dynamic story is of a woman who was sexually molested by her father starting at the age of two years old. He molested all of the children and also seven of the neighborhood children. And she was not only able to forgive him, but she wasted her life for many years because of her, the damage done to her and her low self-esteem, feeling that she had no value, became involved in drugs and temporary prostitution because she was going to hurt men the way she had been hurt. She was going to use them.
What did she say about the book specifically pointed her back in the direction of forgiveness and the ability to take that weight off her shoulders?
She, too, had an experience. She became a Christian, and that's what empowered her to do it. Because this takes supernatural help, so far as I'm concerned.
So another story that you can regale our listeners with, because let's just say, for example, someone who doesn't have the benefit of Christianity, mm-hmm. hasn't accepted Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior, mm-hmm. and they're worthy of forgiveness as well, right?
Mm-hmm. You said
it's very difficult to do, but are there other examples in your book of people who have overcome without the benefit of being Christian, or was that the common denominator?
That was the common denominator. Now, I am sure God created us with an unbelievable brain. And I'm sure there are many people who are able to forgive and do unbelievable things without being a Christian. But in my case, I was able to do it quickly because I did have that connection. I did have that foundation.
Tell us another couple of stories. You said there's at least another couple of very provocative stories in the book about people who have overcome very, very dire circumstances and had the ability to forgive and then move on and live in a very joyous fashion.
One woman hated her husband so deeply that she actually went into a type of insanity. And they gave her 50 electrical shock treatments.
Oh, my gosh.
And she went into such depression that she actually was catatonic for several years. And her daughter kept trying to help her. She would talk to her, and she would quote a scripture to her, and she would tell her that she needed to forgive, that she had to forgive in order to be free. And eventually, after 3 years of the mother not saying anything, it happened. And the mother told her, she said, I was in a deep well, in a hole that I could not get out of. And you quoting that scripture is what helped me to finally break free of it.
Was it a particular scripture that she quoted?
Yes, and I don't remember which.
Okay, that's fine. But I know that a lot of individuals, too, when they summon up the spiritual strength to forgive, have this epiphany. And then they're on fire. Then they want to let everybody know.
Right.
And that's what you've done. You've become a servant to others and shown by your own actions. Like the Bible says, faith without works is dead.
Right.
We can talk a good game. We can all say, yeah, we'll forgive whoever else. If Josh turns the board off now and my mic goes dead, nobody hears me, and I'm mad at him. I can talk a good game, but my actions are, hey, things happen, and we forgive, and we move on. But actions speak louder than words. You've lived that now. What's the greatest degree of satisfaction that you get from the work that you do?
Seeing people forgive to become free. And because I know what that is like. And know the heavy burden that you carry. It permeates every area of your life. And so when I get these comments through Facebook or from my email or phone calls, it is absolutely worth all the effort of writing the book. It's even worth going through what I went through, if that makes sense.
Well, and
to help others.
And I think if you believe in God and you believe in that there are no accidents, that everything happens for a reason. Now, I wouldn't be so cavalier as to say for you or for anybody who was molested or has a child who has cancer or anything that's very egregiously tragic that was meant to be. But I think you almost have to get to that state of mind to reconcile some of these events, the horrific nature of what you went through. And then be able to, the beauty of life, to have the spiritual autonomy to either accept this life sentence of hating your father forever and penalizing yourself, or being able to forgive him and be able to live your life joyously, then I think it's an easy choice, right?
Absolutely.
Because you want to free yourself.
Absolutely.
He's not going to hold you a victim the rest of your life.
Exactly. And it's interesting because I find that it's easier for me to forgive others. You always have to forgive someone, you know, because things are going to happen. People are going to do things, even deliberately, to hurt you. But I've discovered that I can let go of these things quicker.
Well, and that brings me to an interesting point, because I think you and I visited with this on the phone before we initially got together to do the show. I told you the hardest thing in my life was to forgive myself. We had a business that failed a couple years ago. It's down the road. I've forgiven myself. But I treaded water there for a couple of years and mainly beat myself up saying, how could I have been so stupid to not see the warning signs? How could I have not seen it? I'm just beating myself unmercifully. Just like when we saw Robin Williams take his own life, mm-hmm. We think, oh, my God, Robin, couldn't you have reached out to someone? We'd love you. You know, you're a remarkable man. But I think some people get so myopic sometimes, they can't really get out of that funk. So I think self-forgiveness is a big thing, too.
Absolutely. The thing about self-forgiveness, sometimes it's easier to forgive others than yourself. And the scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself. Not instead of yourself, but as yourself. The more that we can forgive ourselves, not give ourselves leeway to just do anything, but to say, I should be my best friend. I would forgive another person for this and encourage that person. I'm going to do that for myself.
That's interesting. And I think that's a great point to lead the show on today. Is the ability, and that scripture is so provocative because we do look at, our neighbor's kind of screwy, and I'm commanded to forgive him, but I made this big mistake and I can't forgive myself. You know, you've got to do both. You got to love yourself and you got to love your neighbor. Again, you know, you hate the sin, you love the sinner. There's a common theme here, people. So, you know, if you see that, you don't sanction the actions of anybody who's going to be egregiously out of line with you, like we've talked about for the balance of this show. Someone's going to abuse you, either verbally or physically. Not acceptable. Will not happen here. Move on down the road if that's what you're going to do.
Right.
And I think once that you stand for yourself like that, then you can set up that boundary that you talked about earlier. If people want to get a hold of your work or your books, how can they do so?
They can go to www.kittychappell.com to my website.
And spell your last name.
C-H-A-P-P-E-L-L. Thank you.
Uh-huh. So it's www.kittychappell.com. And it's a great website. It has your books. It has testimonials, has stories, and I really would encourage people to go to this website, because what it does is it gives you the ability to look at resources that are going to be very practical for you.
And I might add that there is an independent feature film that's being developed right now based on this book.
Did you want me to play the lead?
I'm sorry?
Did you want me to play the lead role?
Oh, why not? Sure.
Some people say I favor Mel Gibson.
You know, I just said that to someone.
Which I always tell people was great before he started acting out and being kind of I can't say it on
that's
radio,
okay.
But,
that's
you know,
okay.
Being a little bit immature. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Kitty, thank you so much for being here today and
thank
talking
you.
About forgiveness. And we want to thank all of our listeners. If you're a first-time listener, please tell your friends to come back and listen to us. If you're a return listener, make sure you come back next week. I want to thank Josh for running the board. Thank all of you for listening. Have a great week, everybody. And as we leave you this week, we do so the way we do with every show. We say to stand for yourself and against nobody else. Have a great week, everybody.